Hello, 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 and welcome to the RuPaul's Drag Race Recap here on Reality TV Wrap-Ups. I'm your host, Liana Boris. We are here to talk about the Snatch Game of Love from episode 5 of RuPaul's Drag Race All-Stars 5. Now, we do not have 5 panelists today, but we do have 4. So first, let me introduce a man who's always with us, Amon. Amon Adwin, how are you doing?
I am good. I am trying to figure out, is there a character that I would play if I were on Snatch Game? And the only thing that sort of comes to mind right now would probably be Tiffany Pollard. And I would have loved to have been Tiffany Pollard for Shea Coulee's Flava Flav. We would have had great banter with one another. But yeah, I'm good. I'll stick with being Amon for today.
I would think of all the interactions. That would just be so good.
I know, right?
We also have with us Beth Dixon. Beth, how are you doing?
Doing really well. I also was thinking about who would I be, and I came up with, I think I would try to be Megan Mullally, but as Karen from Will and Grace.
Okay, I like that.
I just have, like, at one point have that full bottle of vodka and just chug it all the way down the way that she did in the show that one time.
Gotta have those props.
That's right.
And we also are very excited to have a guest with us here today. So Sharifa Yasmin, is that how I pronounce your last name?
You did. You got it perfect.
Oh my gosh. What did you have for breakfast?
I actually had leftover Waffle House because I took my mom to Waffle House for her birthday yesterday. I did not have Uranus. Apologies. Oh.
So close. So close.
Tasted similarly, but it was okay.
Oh my gosh. Well, we are so happy to have you. Sharifa is kicking off a line of guests that we're going to be having over the next couple of weeks. To finish out the All-Stars 5 coverage and then potentially go into Canada. We're not sure yet, but for the Canada coverage, if you missed out, Amon and I did a podcast about episode 1. We are probably going to fold in the Canada coverage into the US podcasts and do sort of talk about all of our Canada thoughts because it's such a fun season, but unfortunately we don't have time to cover that season in full. But when All-Stars 5 ends, who knows? All right, let's get into everything from this episode. So, Beth, give me your overall impressions of Snatch Game and Snatch Game of Love.
Okay, so I, for whatever reason, in All Stars 4, left Snatch Game of Love feeling like, I don't really like this. I wish they would go back to the normal format. I did appreciate that they were doing something new. I felt like this Snatch Game of Love worked better. And I think it was just because we had at least half of the queens that really brought it to the, like, Snatch Game of Love portion that were really great. Rather than last year, it really felt like it was just one or two of the queens that kind of got it, that were able to improv, be their characters, but be like on a dating show rather than just the match game. So I really, really appreciated it. I thought that this episode, I thought they did a wonderful job overall. I kind of wished that a few people had chosen different characters or done something more in the wheelhouse. But we always know the Snatch Game is going to be a mess in some capacity. So I was also looking for the train wrecks is in addition to the ones that really brought it for us.
Yeah. Sharifa, what do you think about the change of format going from, you know, we've seen the Snatch Game of Love before. How did you think it came on the second time out?
I agree with Beth. I liked it better here, but I liked it better here only because Alexis and Juju and Shay were able to actually handle it because I think it's a harder structure than the match game formula that we've seen. And it really exposes the people more so the match game, I think, who just aren't comfortable, who don't know what they're doing, who aren't able to improv and banter off. And it makes those train wrecks even more apparent.
Yeah, I think that that's definitely true. And I don't know. I think really it comes down to the characters and to the people who are performing. You know, it's kind of like it with reality in general. If you have a strong cast, Amon, you're going to have a good Snatch Game.
Yeah, we always hold, we're waiting with bated breath every single season to figure out if Snatch Game is going to be a mess or if it's going to be one that knocks it out of the park. And I'm sort of like, this one was okay. I feel like it definitely was saved by a few people. But I guess in the pantheon of Snatch Games of, you know, all of them put together, I would say this is probably like middle of the pack to higher, you know, better ones, you know, so it was okay. I definitely feel like Jujubee, they hit it on hit the nail on the head when they said that her portrayal of Eartha Kitt was probably the best that the show has seen. But I feel like it's particularly here to serve, like Valentina's doing Eartha Kitt last year. So
it was just because RuPaul didn't know what an Emperor's New Groove was.
Right?
I missed all those jokes.
I forgot about that.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that's what it was. All right. Well, to be honest, there's not that much to talk about before we jump right into the Snatch Game, because we got a lot to talk about after the Snatch Game with all the drama that goes on after that. So let's just jump right on in. Let's talk about Snatch Game. And also, by the way, if you are listening to us in podcast form, fantastic. Do not change the channel. But if you are interested in checking out the video, we are posting these videos on YouTube. So check out the Rob Has a Podcast YouTube page. You can look at our beautiful faces and look at the Snatch Games and the runways and all of that wonderful stuff. So definitely check that out if you're interested.
Funny thing about this, so I got a message on Facebook Messenger today, actually, and it was like, oh, Amon, I didn't realize that you were the Drag Race wrap ups for a while now. And it was a friend from college that I haven't seen or spoken to in forever. He was like, not seen the video, I would have had no idea that that was you the whole time. And I was like, wow, that's crazy.
Oh my gosh, that's amazing. I hope it was a good connection. Like, this wasn't a bad thing. We didn't bring about a bad reunion.
Yeah, no, it was good. It was good. It was nice to hear from him. So if you're listening, hey, shout out.
Awesome. Yeah, no, I was like, we usually do these on a Sunday. I'm like, cash, today is like Monday, my like work time. I'm like, this is the most professional I have looked and will ever look on a stream ever. So I'll just go ahead and chalk that up to timing. All right. Oh my gosh. Let's just talk about Snatch Game, and let's talk about the first group that goes on to perform here in the Snatch Game. And who is Tommy Dorfman, first of all, to the panel? Sharifa, yes.
He was, so the only thing that I know him from is, oh my God, that Netflix show, 13 Reasons Why. He's one of the reasons in 13 Reasons Why.
Okay.
But that's the only thing I know him from.
Okay. Thank you. Yes. I was like, okay, he's an actor. I was like, oh, what do I know him from? Because he looks so familiar. All right. Mr. 13 Reasons, one of the reasons why, comes up to talk with what could have been a disaster group if Alexis was not here to save the day. We have Cracker, who decides to go with Lady Gaga. Bad choice. Alexis, who goes as Walter Mercado, who I didn't know until this, but was absolutely delighted by. And India, who goes as Mr. Canceled, although slightly not canceled, but should be canceled, Jeffree Star.
Ooh. But also like goth version of Jeffree Star in the face with present day hair, like a confusing look.
Very hyper-sexualized as well. It was just kind of uncomfortable.
Miss Glenda the Good Witch with the, like, there's no mirror. Like, I don't know what's going on here. All right, let's go. Well, we can talk about the group or queen by queen, whatever you guys want to do. Beth, give me your thoughts.
Okay, first of all, I love Miss Cracker. We all know this. Why are you choosing Lady Gaga, who people have done in the past and nobody has been able to make her funny, because mm-hmm. she has nothing to really bring to be funny out of her? Like, you need to be able to improv lines. Like, one of the reasons why I feel like this episode was so focused on the challenges, we actually got a run through from RuPaul before the challenge, which we haven't gotten yet. And this was a really wonderful opportunity to get insight to why some people were choosing who they were choosing, but we didn't get that with Cracker. And all I could sit back and think is like, girl, what were you thinking? Nobody has been able to make Lady Gaga funny. And you had one okay line about the 100 people in the room or whatever that has been overplayed now at this point. Like, why? You're so funny. Do someone that's funny. Like, I would have loved for her to do somebody else. Like, I can't understand the thought process of trying to make Lady Gaga funny. Does she look like Lady Gaga? Sure. Academy Award winning Lady Gaga? Yeah, absolutely. Or nominated. I don't know if she didn't win. But I mean, I was a little frustrated by Cracker.
All right, Amon, you're the Cracker fan. Can you defend it?
So I was looking forward to this, actually. When I saw this she had chosen Lady Gaga, and I loved the look. I was like, oh, she's about to kill this shit. Because, yeah, Miss Cracker is funny. She's, this is what she does, you know? And I feel like the wheels were turning the entire time. She was being too cerebral with some of the references. You could just hear the brain thinking, you know? It was just too much. Just there was not enough free-flowing energy. Even right on down to, like, how the way she was acting at, like, you weren't even trying to sound like her. It just sounded like Miss Cracker dressed up as Lady Gaga, and that's only half the battle. You look great, but this isn't the Night of a Thousand Gaga's runway. You might have been in the top for that look, but where is everything else? Where is the slight nasal quality to her voice? Where is the tendency to make everything about herself, even if it's not supposed to be? Like, where is the reference to whatever she was wearing that night? Where is the reference to I just feel like there's so much material to make Lady Gaga funny, because Lady Gaga goes out of... Lady Gaga is one of the most unintentionally funniest people that I know in popular culture, because she's always getting clowned for everything that she says, because she tries to be... She, like Cracker, is also a very cerebral person, tries to seem deeper than she is. I love her nonetheless, but let's be real. Like, Lady Gaga can be very, very self-indulgent, and I was looking forward to that, but it just didn't come. Everything was... All of her answers seemed pre-canned. It seemed like she was trying to fit the answers that she had already come up with, and then try and bend whatever RuPaul was asking her to make it fit whatever she already had prepped. And it was just like, that's not how it works. Well, you gotta improvise.
Thing about Gaga, and it goes into everything you just said, is she's unintentionally funny. And I think that's why she's such a difficult character to pull off. And there's, like, very few queens that I would trust with that. Probably the only one I can think of is Pandora Box. I feel like she would slay Lady Gaga. But being able to capture that, like, because you're trying to be funny during Match Game or Snatch Game or whatever it is. And the whole thing that makes her funny is the fact that she's not trying to be. And I feel like that's why we saw Cracker's brain frying. I mean, you could have cracked an egg on it. Like, she was thinking, and I felt so bad because she knew it. You could tell she knew it.
It was written lines. Show me the cue cards. Like, give me those little index cards that y'all used in presentations in the third grade, because that's what it felt like she was going off of.
Yeah.
It would have been better if she had just tried to, like... Lady Gaga is also not afraid to, like, sing on cue and demand. Like, where's the, like, you know, like, I'm on the deep end. Like, why aren't you doing, like, some random portion of her songs, like, as part of answers to make it, like, ridiculous and over the edge, like, and, like, there's so many things that you can do with your face and emotions and, like, your body language to, like, make it go over the top, because all you have to do in this is make RuPaul laugh. And let's be honest, like, RuPaul has a very simple, campy sense of humor. It shouldn't be that hard, but yet everybody overthinks it, especially Cracker.
Yeah, go for the easy stuff. Go for the low hanging fruit, because more often than not, it'll do well. And I felt like she chose an era of Gaga that is, you know, Gaga's in her movie phase era now. You know what I mean? She's trying to be refined. She's trying to be a Hollywood glamorous actress now. And I felt like that doesn't lend itself to the comedy as much as it should have. Like, if you had done, like, you could have been Meat Dress Gaga, you could have been Judas Gaga, you could have been Art Pop Gaga, the era that everybody says was the biggest flop, even though that album went to number one and has sold a bunch of records. So, like, I just feel like you chose the wrong Gaga.
I see the anguish, Amon, just emanating from you. I'm trying to decide whether or not I think Gaga is one of those celebrities that just goes in the, you cannot do a snatch game of this person, like Beyonce, for example. You know, we just can't see someone do a good job with that type of person. Or is there a potential there? Like, all the things that Amon pointed out, is that something that you could do to really make Gaga a great character?
There's this really funny actress she got famous a couple years back for doing a Beyonce impersonation. And I think her stage name was Keyonce Bowles. And she has Beyonce's timbre and, like, t- Texas Southern drawl to a T, and that's like half the battle. The minute that the minute that you hear her doing it, it's like you already want to laugh because you don't really hear a lot of like really good Beyonce impersonations because her voice is so distinct. So I felt like that, like when it comes to Cracker in terms of Gaga, like if you can match her lilt, that's already half the battle, because it's like, ah, you sound just like the bitch. That's funny, you know what I mean? But she wasn't doing that. So.
Yeah, I think Jinx Monsoon on the pit stop this week said, if you can get the voice down, that's half the battle. So,
Yep.
Cracker lost the battle and the war. Like, poor girl. It's just hard because I know that she wanted to, like, you can tell that she wanted to excel at this, which is why she prepared so much. Unfortunately, that ended up being her downfall.
Agreed.
All right, let's talk about Alexis as Walter Mercado. So, Sharifa, what did you think about Alexis here?
I was pleasantly surprised. And I was trying to remember way back on her original season how she did in Snatch Game. And I could not remember. But what was so fantastic about Alexis here is while there were two train wrecks next to her, the car crashes were blaring, she was using that to inform her performance and make it even better. I mean, her banter, especially against India Ferrah's Jeffree Star, was everything. And like, she was in her element. She was comfortable. She was improvising. She was a standout, and she hasn't been a standout in the competition so far, truthfully. And this was her moment.
Yeah, Beth, would you agree with that?
100%. I mean, so Alexis did Alicia Keys, but like if Alicia Keys was like a...
That's right!
Like hitting on... Who was the guest panel person for...
I'm like, I'm trying to pull it up now, baby.
Like, yeah. And it was funny because it had made no sense to Alicia Keys at all, which, and it's Alexis. And I feel like, I think a lot of people have forgotten that Alexis is someone, I guess, kind of like Gaga, who can be like unintentionally funny in the same way that like Vanjie can be, which is why they're like, you know, drag mother and drag daughter.
Oh my God, that's true.
But what I liked about this is, you know, she had a little bit more character study this time around than she did as Alicia Keys, but she still was not like Walter Mercado. She was still Alexis being Walter Mercado, which was so funny because she could just crack jokes at the drop of a hat. We saw this in the design challenge a couple weeks ago with the hotel where, you know, the can pops off or whatever, and she has like these kind of side moments and facial expressions. And she was able to bring that with just this kind of mystical kind of voice to everything. And it was so hilarious. It really did show everybody how quick-witted she can be, in addition to just like her natural humor.
Yeah, Aman, yeah, go ahead.
I was going to say, this is one of those performances like where I didn't know who the person was. And I was like, okay, is this going to be a little Edie for me? Or is this going to be, I can't even think of one of the bad ones that I didn't know either, because I think I just repress all of them because they're horrible. But yeah, I like this. She obviously was able to banter. And once again, like when it comes to improv, that's also a big, big, big skill. If you can get that down too, then you're going to be set. And yeah, I mean, being sandwiched between two weaker competitors, it really just elevated the performance that much more. I did wonder if it was an accurate representation of Walter Mercado, because I didn't know him coming into the show. So Beth, you're saying that it was Alexis being Walter, so that's probably what's going to, you know, keep her from snagging the spot. But it was a good performance nonetheless. Like, if you can once again make RuPaul laugh, then you're going to be good.
Well, that obscurity absolutely helped her, because I think there's very few people who knew exactly who she was doing. But I will say the people who were familiar with him did credit that she captured him pretty well.
Good.
I just would be terrified to see what this group would have looked like if you take out Alexis and you put in Blair.
I don't want to see that, honestly.
To last the train wreck I need.
Yeah, honestly.
Yeah, it just, she was the one who made me laugh. I actually had some laugh out loud moments, which I used to doing Snatch Game, but haven't really recently. So it was just a pleasant, fun experience. Something that was not such a fun and pleasant experience is the next queen we're going to talk about, and that is India Farah doing Jeffree Star, Aman.
So I don't watch Jeffree Star videos. I have no idea what his personality is like. I try and stay as far away from him as possible because all the things that I hear just don't necessarily appeal to me. So I was kind of surprised that she went ahead and chose to do him, considering he is such a scandalous figure for a lot of very bad reasons. And she flopped just like the way I wish that the real one would flop. It just I mean, you're trying to be an influencer during Snatch Game, and I feel like a lot of influencers are all the same. They all have like this attention grabbing, really just superficial personality, and I feel like that was all that she could go off of, and that's just not, there was no depth to the character. And of course, Snatch Game doesn't have to be Oscar winning, but there has to be layers. You have to be able to make layered jokes. And I felt like everything was very surface level. You know what I mean? And even Walter Mercado was able to like throw in a foundation joke, or was it RuPaul that threw in the foundation joke and like tried to, you know, give you a bone. And then there was no banter. There was no like, okay, let me continue on with the makeup puns and the makeup jokes. So I was like, really? Like, no.
It even felt like she dropped what she was attempting to do at one point, and it was just India, mm-hmm. like, fighting Alexis at one point. Like, I don't know what she was thinking, and you could just tell that, like, she didn't come in with a game plan. Which, yeah. it's Snatch Game, how do you not? Or Match Game, or whatever it is. How do you not, like, prepare for that?
And yeah. She knew it was coming, too, because, like you said before, Liana, they, in Untucked, you see Alexis trying to help her out and saying, like, okay, so I asked you this question. What do you say to me as James Charles? And even the answer during the workroom thing was horrendous. So it's like, where is the banter here? Where is the intent?
It would have been much funnier. So I used to watch Jeffree Star for a little while because I wanted to see what the appeal was. And to be honest with you, there is like a certain level of charisma that Jeffree has that kind of sucks you in, and you're like, oh wow, like I can understand this from your point of view. And then like you sit back and go, actually no, you're still racist. Oh my god, what, you're awful. Anyway, so but there would have been like, there's so many different kinds of, just even if you don't know Jeffree Star, there are so many different kinds of like influencer videos. You could answer every question as like a different one, like in like welcome back with the mirror or something like that, and like pretend mm-hmm. like every answer is like a new video. There would have been something like, you could be like, this is my apology video for the scandal,
right
like answer. There's, you know, you could like, this is my product launching video, just have like different products that you're going to be talking about. I mean, there's different things you can do that would be better to do during regular Snatch Game. Now you have to add into Sharifa's point of view that this is like so much harder because you have to focus everything in on trying to get a date for the character that you're talking about. So I just don't get the choice. Like it also like, if you're not going to also bring up the part about how controversial of a figure that is too, cause you can make a lot of comedy out of that as well. And like, why are you doing it? Did you just want to be on the PR list? Like, I don't get it.
But okay. So when did all the, so, we do not have time to get into all of the YouTuber drama because like there's not enough time on Earth to get into the YouTuber drama, but I'm just trying to put together the timeline because this would have filmed before season 12, which would have been like a year ago, right? Yeah. So
I didn't know it filmed before 12.
Yeah, it filmed before 12. So we thought we were going to get it before 12, but then we didn't. We got it after for some reason. But, you know, I guess they're thankful because Miss Rona. But yeah. So, I mean, okay. Yeah. I mean, you could have talked about stuff. It's not
there's
like
a lot of stuff.
Yeah. Every year there's something.
Mm-hmm. There's no shortage of stuff. Yeah, there wasn't the James Charles Tati Jeffree Star stuff until like 6 months after they filmed this, I think. Mm-hmm. However, it's Jeffree frickin' Star. There is a scandal every minute. You can always talk mm-hmm. about the past stuff of like him, you know, having a lot of like racist things that he's done in the past, whether or not you believe he's, you know, made up for that and has learned and whatever. That's mm-hmm. on your individual thoughts, I guess. But like, this, there's material there. Like, I just don't get it. Like,
yeah,
so much you could have done to like make this a part of the humor.
Well, yeah,
I think that you can really do anyone as long as you're comfortable in it. And like, just coming from an acting background, there's a huge difference between a character that you embody, that you feel, that you can breathe in, and a character that you don't. And what I wish that India had done was like find someone that she was comfortable doing. And I think that was the difference with Alexis. Like, Alexis was comfortable, and because of that, she was able to have the banter that she was having. But you could just tell that India wasn't able to embody this. She didn't feel comfortable in it, and she was overthinking. And it's sort of the same thing that happened to Miss Cracker.
I'm just thinking who India would choose if it's somebody that she truly felt comfortable. And I was like, I don't know. Derek Barry's ops is like, is that a character that you can do?
I'd love to see her as Derek Barry. I think she'd do great. She has a lot of material she's been saving for that one. That would have been a decision.
To be Derek Barry. Oh my gosh.
I think ultimately at the end of the day, we've now seen India in the bottom 4 weeks in a row, and they were all like acting improv kind of things. I think we've beaten the horse to death here. We know she's not, this isn't in her wheelhouse. This is not the kind of drag that she does. This is those kind of things. So I think it was just a nail in the coffin for her. And honestly,
I just wonder if that was on purpose, because we did get these three challenges in a row. It was like, okay, now we're going to get out these specific queens because we know they're not good at acting. And now we're going to finally do a ball challenge, something that might be more suited to her skills.
Right.
But, you know, this is them's the breaks, kids. This is unfortunately what we're going to get. And India, I think rightfully so, was in the bottom, although every queen is in the bottom if you're not Shea Coulee. But we'll talk about that. Before we get into the twist, let's talk about the second half of the Snatch Game of Love. And that is the Jeffrey Boyer Chapman group, which I just want to get this out of the way. That weird thing with Rue here on the runway. I don't know what I watched, Sharifa, but it just made me uncomfortable.
I have so many strong feelings about this, because like, I am one of those people, I will get secondhand anxiety from watching something awkward. Like, I know it's controlled, it's in a television screen, no one is watching me, like I should be fine. But every single time they had this like forced chemistry moment, I was dying inside. It was so uncomfortable and so forced. And out of all the things you're trying to squeeze into this edit, this is the one you lay with? It did not work out the way that they were trying to.
Well, it's a reference to All Stars 3 with the Bitchler, where they had that tension in between trying to get all like the bachelorette people to see Jeffrey Boyer Chapman, right? And I'm like, what a weird, like, that was two, three years ago now at this point. Like, it's not like this has been continued. I think he's even like been a guest judge in between then, like on either season 10 or 11, 12. Like, I don't understand why. It's like, do you remember this thing from two All-Star seasons ago? Let's harp on that for a little bit.
Did anyone else remember that? Because I did not.
I remembered it because I remember like him biting his lip and everything during the Bitchler. So I knew immediately what was going on here. But to me, it really just seems like RuPaul has legit hots for Jeffrey Boyer Chapman, and he is masking it in some sort of like faked, you know, sexual tensioning that he's turning into a joke. But really on the inside, he's like, I would jump this kid's bones in a heartbeat. And he's just using this to get that out. And it's like, it just feels so obvious to me. It's so like, can you just like thirst quietly like the rest of us
in the corner?
You don't have to do this.
Yeah,
I get it. That man is fine, but it was way too much. It was uncomfortable.
I mean, but if he's in on it, if Jeffrey Boyer Chapman is, you know, in on the joke and is having a good time, then far be it from us to you know, to make it anything more than it is. But it's like, damn, like they'd only done it twice at this point. Like, they only did, like Beth said, they only did it in All Stars 3, and they've done it now again in All Stars 5. It's been like 2 years of separation, but it still felt like they've been doing it forever. It still felt so heavy handed. I was like, ew.
Well, all I could think about that I thought was really funny at the end of the day was like when they were doing like the fake out like kiss moment, all I could think about is the queens on the other side of that wall can't see what's happening right now. And they must be
I know.
what's happening in the moment, but I don't know. Like,
I was watching and I didn't know what was happening in the moment.
I was like,
now we know. Now we know why Jeffrey Boyer Chapman is one of the judges on Canada's Drag Race.
Literally, my thought, Ahmad, I was like, oh, this is how he earned that. Gotcha. Oh my God.
Get your bag.
Now let's take a break to hear a word from our sponsors. And we are back.
All right. Well, whatever weird, thirsting, basement flooding nonsense is going on in RuPaul's pants, we're not going to talk about that anymore. We are going to move on to the queens that we're going to see perform in this group. And so first up is a little old Miss Blair St. Clair doing someone else who's canceled, Ellen DeGeneres. Beth, walk me through your thoughts on Ellen.
Oh, Ellen was there? I didn't get it at all. I just got a string of lesbian jokes that didn't even have to come from Ellen. That's what I got out of that situation.
What
I mean,
was this weird Southern twang that she had the whole time?
She was strange. Trying to do, like, Ellen has that Louisiana, but like LA Hollywoodified accent now. Like it's like a blended accent, and she was trying to do some version of it, but like, no. Like, it was
okay. Well, that kind of makes more sense, because I didn't realize that Ellen was from Louisiana. So I guess, but you're right. Like, she's been in the game for so long now. She's a Hollywood, you know, fixture now, that I feel like that accent has really fallen out. So I was just like, that's distracting me the whole time.
I mean, the whole thing was distracting. Actually, okay, you know what? Look, we just talked about India Farah, so I want to give Blair a little bit of props. Like, it was okay. It was okay.
It was okay.
It was serviceable. Ellen. Yeah, it was serviceable. It wasn't Ellen, and it wasn't funny, but it wasn't bad. So like, I didn't Ellen. Yeah.
But you're like, Ellen DeGeneres, if you don't know anything else about her besides the fact that she's a lesbian, like, dancing! Dance! Do something! Mm-hmm. Just, you know, like, get to your seat in a specific way, like, you know, I just, like,
you know, we know that these queens know about this ahead of time, and if Blair was doing any character studying, if she was trying to get all of her shit from Ellen, she fucked up. She should have been watching Kate McKinnon. That's who you really should have been doing. If you really wanted to give a good Ellen impression, watch the lady that does it all the time, who won an Emmy for it. You know what I mean? So I'm not really sure. I mean, I feel like it definitely was not as bad as India. There definitely were moments where I was like, oh, I chuckled at that. So sometimes when I'm watching Snatch Game, I'm like, I wish I could see the unedited version of this. I wish I could just see, like, the raw footage of the Snatch Game, because I want to see just how much they are cutting out to fit the narrative. Because I feel like there were definitely moments where Blair was like, I was like, oh, I see what you're doing there. But they would, you know, go immediately over to Juju or to Shay, because obviously those two were doing much better. But I'm like, there was probably some good nuggets in there. They were just few and far between in this edit.
Mm-hmm. I mean, Liana, you brought it up. I am actually interested in seeing the version of what would have happened if Blair was in the original group, or in the first group with India and with Miss Crocker, because part of the problem here for her as well was that she was next to Juju and Shay, who were arguably the strongest in the entire challenge. And so it just made all of her road bumps even more apparent. But I wonder if she was in the first group, if she would have maybe had an easier time, and like, her not being as funny would still be funny compared to the train wrecks that were happening next to her. Because I think of the weakest, she was the strongest.
Right. Things are relative, you know? So if she is the strongest of the weak, then she looks like she's the best. She may end up going home, you know, with the win, at least like the win of that group. Right. And yeah, I'm sure, you know, Blair, again, is also much younger, and that must be incredibly intimidating to be next to two people who are so strong and so good and who killed this challenge. And not only that, they're also interacting with each other. And that makes it hard, because you feel like you truly are the third wheel to the performance that's going on around you. So, you know, a little bit, I have empathy for her. That still doesn't change the fact that there weren't that many jokes. She did dance at the end, but you have to dance throughout. You know what I mean? Really work in all of those physical mannerisms that Ellen has.
If I were her, I would have picked up my stool and gone on the other side of Shay Coulee and had, like, started to try to interview them as if she was just on the Ellen show. Because that's where she sits, is over on that side. And just been like, try to come up with a game or, like, do something improv that way. Like, draw on the things that you know about her. And if they're doing such a good job of interacting with each other, Ellen's a perfect person to try to assert yourself and insert yourself into their conversation. Just play the talk show host, you know, or whatever they're doing. Like there's things there. But it's like, even with the body language, just from this still, now granted, this isn't the body language throughout the entirety of the thing. You have, you know, Jujubee's looking slightly over in the direction of where Shae Coule is, and Blair has her back kind of turned to Alva. And that was the body language for most of it. Like, you know, if the other two are interacting with each other, engage with them as well. I think you might be able to get some nuggets out of that.
Speaking of cat nuggets, I don't know where that transition was going. Sorry,
it popped in my head. It was a try. We applaud the effort.
Yeah, A for effort, D for delivery. All right. So Eartha Kitt, a character that we've seen impersonated now three times, Jujubee doing the third version of Eartha Kitt. Sharifa, what about Juju?
I mean, the thing about Eartha Kitt is that she's such an iconic figure, and she has been done multiple times on Drag Race. And I did like Chi Chi Devane's impersonation of Eartha Kitt, if I'm remembering correctly. But like, Juju just has this confidence with her that even when she says something that's not funny, she makes it funny. And then you add this lay of Eartha Kitt to it, like... there was no way she was going to fail here. There just really wasn't. And she ended up doing this iconic performance of Eartha Kitt that like left everyone gagging and laughing and enjoying her like they always do.
Yeah, Beth, yeah. I think it actually kind of harkens back a little bit to what you were saying with Blair. Was it Blair just doesn't really have that confidence to just step up and do something crazy, like start the game or start the interview or something like that. But Eartha Kitt impression, like, just had it down to a T.
She really did. And she had my favorite line of the entire episode, which is when RuPaul said, if I were the question, or maybe it was Jeffrey Borey Chapman that said, if I were cold at night, what would you do to warm me up? And her answer was, I would sensually walk to the thermostat and turn up the thermostat to a sensible 74. That alone as a standalone line is like, okay, but the delivery, like where you could tell she was thinking of where she was going with it, was hysterical. And it all goes back to what Sharifa was saying about the confidence, where she said, I don't know where this line is going, but it's going to go someplace and I'm going to make it funny because that's what I have. That's what I do.
Yeah, it was. Aman, what did you think about Juju? Did she have that confidence?
I love Miss Eartha Kitt. I did not grow up knowing her as Catwoman. I didn't grow up really even hearing her rendition of Santa Baby until I was much older. But I grew up with Eartha Kitt as Yzma. I grew up with Eartha Kitt as Madame Zeroni in Holes. So that voice to me is always going to be like iconic. And I felt like Juju, she got that down. She got the mannerisms down. She wanted to listen to every single word that came out of her mouth because she was eating every line. And the thermostat line, I mean, come on, that's just perfect. Like, sensually walk over to the thermostat. Like, it's just classic misdirection comedy. I love it. Jujubee is, you could just tell that she had been waiting to be Eartha Kitt for the longest time, and she saw Chi Chi Devane up in that bitch. She saw Valentina last season, and she's like, you know what? Now it's time to really show these bitches the real tea with Eartha Kitt. And
let's put an end to anybody else trying to do it. Yeah.
That's it. This is the pinnacle now.
This last queen, I am so excited to talk about, because Shae Coule as Flava Flav was everything I needed in my life that I didn't know I needed. Oh my gosh. Like, okay, sometimes we're like, oh, I see this joke coming, but then Shae would flip it and do something else. It was just so outstanding, had that physicality on point, had the Flava Flav references. So I just recently rewatched Flavor of Love season one, Flavor of Love season two with my partner, who had never seen those seasons before.
should have just broken up with him then. But we probably watched the first season like recently, like I'm talking like a month ago or something. And so it was just, I can't, okay, I'm just going to keep spouting nonsense of praises Amon until I shut up. So please like say something more eloquent than me.
Flavor Flavor, yeah, boy.
That was amazing. I mean, you did such a good job expressing yourself.
Thank you.
It was so
amazing. I mean, this, you know, like, it was over the top. It was very, like, Flavor Flav is a drag queen. That's what I've come to realize after this. I think that Shay had all the references. She made them work for the scene. The banter as well. I mean, the roses are red, violets are yellow, whatever. I just realized that you're a fella thing. Like, I mean, come on. Like, it was you could tell that it was rehearsed to a point, but that didn't matter because it still flowed very organically. Yeah. And Flavor Flav and Eartha Kitt is a reality television show that I didn't know that I needed. And now may she rest in peace. I'm so sad that she's passed because I feel like we have missed out on such a fantastic opportunity. Like, make it happen. Like, I want them to go on the road together.
Yeah.
But yeah, sure. Shay killed it.
Sharifa, I really didn't realize, like, that's why it clicked for me. Like, oh, Flavor Flav is a drag queen. That's why I loved Flavor of Love so much.
I mean, it was all of those shows. And please, please, please get him to watch I Love New York after y'all just took the Flavor of Love journey.
Yes.
We're in the middle of season one right now.
Amazing. God's work. The thing about it is that, and it sort of goes to what Michelle Visage said later in the episode, where she was like, if you're going to pick a guy to do for Snatch Game, it has to be someone as iconic as Flavor Flav, because he's so expressive and so energetic and cracked. And you're like, is this man real? But you buy into it because he puts on this character. But what I really loved about Shea's performance is it was Shea's version. Mm-hmm. Of Flavor Flay. And I think that's why she was able to have those moments where she did go off the fly, like that, the roses are red, violets are blue, or whatever it was. She didn't come in with that. That was on the fly. And it's because, like, you could see that she was comfortable with doing this character and she knew him inside out and she just flew off the handle. It was such a delight.
Yeah, it's also a smart move. If you know it's the Snatch Game of Love, why not choose someone who had a whole dating show centered around them and is an iconic in that way? Like, that is just so perfect. Like, you know that anything that you do and say is going to harken back to the show that already makes them on a dating profile. Like, it's just perfect. It was a great selection.
Oh my gosh, her mind.
Her mind.
Oh, there's so many iconic reality TV moments. Anyway, maybe at some point we'll do a rewatch. Some stuff definitely does not hold up, as someone just watched it recently, but it still brings a lot of fun and crazy love. All right, is there anything else y'all want to say about the Snatch Game performances before we talk about the runways?
No, I think I'm good. It was thank God for Jujubee and thank God for Shay. They killed it. They did a good job.
Mm-hmm.
And Alexis. Yeah, I think Alexis. Really.
But it's always going to be and Alexis and Nat. Juju and Shay just carried it.
I just felt so bad. And I do believe that if Alexis had been in that group, I don't even want to know what kind of shenanigans would have taken place. I don't think my stomach could have handled it. I would have just been
Blair probably would have won for like that.
Yeah.
Really. Oh, yeah. Lazy Ellen.
I'll take a lazy Ellen over a flat Gaga and what the heck is going on Jeffree Star. So
is lazy Ellen, is that the thing that holds your spices and it spins? Oh no, lazy Susan, got it. The only time a lazy Susan joke is ever on a podcast.
I wish
I don't know what a lazy Susan is, so I'm just nodding my head like I do.
I got the reference and thought it was great.
It's like this spinny thing that you put spices on and it's like too, like,
that's what it's called?
Yeah.
A lazy Susan?
Yeah.
Why did someone name it that?
Someone who really hated someone named Susan. I have no idea.
Yeah.
I really don't.
Why? Someone has to be out there with a drag name Lazy Susan, right?
Oh, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah.
I'm going to write that down. That is fantastic.
I have a list of drag names I've come up with. That's going on the list. Not that I came up with it. Yeah.
My drag name in college was Latifa Cleopatra. And the whole tagline was two queens for the price of one.
Oh, that's amazing.
Yes. That's
so fun. Oh, God. All right, well, let's go back from college all the way to prom and talk about the runway this week, which was all prom themed, prom extravaganza, whatever you want to call it. And the first queen to walk the runway is walk the runway is Ms. Kraka doing her very best acne prom look. Amon.
Yeah, she went for that route where you get glamorous, but just sort of like fuck up the beat. To give us a little campiness here. It sort of kind of reminded me of the last Friday night Katy Perry type prom look from Gigi Good last season. I enjoy this. That sheer pink is just so just bright and just hits you in the face. I like that she went with a little comedy here. I like the dress. I like the silver. Like bits on the chest plate and everything in contrast with the feathers. I liked it. I like this look a lot.
For me, if it's the gag, I wanted it to be bigger.
More.
Because, because I felt like, especially compared to a lot of the other queens and what they showed up in, I almost felt it was like slightly more flat. And if the whole thing was this gag about like the pimples on the face and like that, and I get the shtick, I just didn't get enough of the shtick. Like, I remember at one point I was watching and I was like, oh yeah, she put pimples on her face. It just, if you're going to go for the gag, really go for the gag.
Mm-hmm. That's a really good point. I agree. I wish that she would have overacted it. Like, I can't believe that I broke out at prom. Like, something like that, you know? Instead of like, I just worked so hard for this. Here we are, you know? I don't agree with, I think it was Michelle Visage's comment saying that her dress was like more showgirl or not prom. I actually knew quite a few girls that wore dresses like that at prom. So like, I was like, I don't agree with that. I just generally felt like all together, like the shtick was funny. It was kind of like, yeah, prom, safe look. I don't think there was anything over the top spectacular or over the top awful about it. But I do agree. Like, if you're going to go for the shtick, make it big.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you can even see, like, when she's kind of walking in the runway, like, yeah, she's kind of slumped over, but it's not really exaggerated, I think, to the effect that would really push it over the top. Even though, you know, I mean, I thought it was fine. I thought it was safe. I don't know if I just wasn't vibing with her because the Snatch Game performance was so bad. or this look I also didn't like.
She very well could have been feeling, because we know that this is how Ms. Kraka is. When she knows that she doesn't do well, you can see how it affects other things that in either in the workroom or on the runway. And I think this is exactly what happened here. Didn't go over the top again.
Right.
Hmm.
Right.
The next queen to walk the runway is Alexis Mateo. Sharifa, what did you think about the quinceañera full leg exposed look?
I loved it. And it's always really special, especially like, because we have to be aware that America's a melting pot. It's always really lovely when contestants bring their cultural background into the themes. And I want this dress. Lord, I want this dress in every color. Like, she walked on the stage and you just felt her presence. And the fact she got to bring something in that was different from all the other girls was, I thought, really special.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Beth, what do you think?
Oh, no, I totally agree. I think that, first of all, can we disagree? Red is Alexis's color head to toe. It looks so good on her. It's her power color for sure. And I loved the like prom slash almost pageant hairstyle, like keeping it long. Cause so many people do like an updo for prom. But you always find those girls that just like, you were able to clock it and just like looks so good with her long hair down. This was just beautiful. I loved the dress. I loved the cultural aspect of it. I loved that it was a drag version of prom. It just wasn't like, here is a prom dress. It was dragged up. I loved every inch of it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Amon, did this fulfill the prom fantasy for you?
stunning. Just stunning. Like, it's just so good. The crimped hair and yeah, that color, that shade of red is just so striking and powerful. And yeah, I mean, you guys kind of just already summed it up. It's a fantastic look for her. And the little leg poking out through the side slit, just chef's kiss.
Mm-hmm.
I love it.
I also completely co-sign. Looks fantastic. A look that did not look fantastic, however, or at least, okay, look, not that the look didn't look fantastic. It's very India Farah. Thank you, Aman. Explain what prom.
Are you, like, is the prom at the funeral home? Like, I don't, like, where are you going?
She just felt an internal pain. So wherever she is right now, she just keeled over. She's like, someone just said something about me.
It's just, and then the breastplate.
Thank you. Oh.
Like three shades, like, away from her shade. So it looks like, what is, like, where is I?
The breast,
and then it's weirdly placed. It looks like her boobs look like they're just like flopping over the edge.
Yes.
It's just not very becoming. I just and I don't really like the. Is it lace or are they feathers that are coming down from her arms? Like, what is that? Is it lace? It's lace.
I think it's and lace. Then,
and then in contrast with like the shiny material of the corset and the skirt. It just doesn't come together for me. But that yellow ass Simpsons colored breastplate is really just pissing me off.
She held it again.
Beth, I see you freaking out over here. Give me your take.
The moment I saw her come on the runway, I literally said out loud, "Girl, what are you doing with your boobs?" I was so confused, like, the placement of them. They're like too big for the like corseted portion of her waist.
Like if those were real boobs, like, I feel like she would be in pain. Like, I don't know about anything about boobs, but I just feel like that would be painful.
Yeah, I don't know. I would agree. There's got to be some kind of, like, I don't know. I'm just confused. Like, if you're gonna go for like goth prom queen, like, there's different things that you could do for that. And I also wouldn't have worn red hair with that. Yeah. I would have worn black hair, or if you wanted to go even, like, I don't know, like, I wouldn't have looked at this and thought, oh, prom. Goth queen prom realness. I would have looked at this and thought, is this another leather and lace from season 7 runway?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's a way to do goth prom that I think would have just been dazzling and Absolutely. That everyone would have eaten up. But for me, it all, like, it reminded me of all of her looks from her original season, which was a decade ago. Like, it didn't feel fresh. You're immediately drawn to her breasts, which is really uncomfortable. Like, you can't help but stare at them because of, like, the way the corset it's like a target. You're just like, I can't.
It's all I can look at. I'm like literally talking to them right now.
But I do want to give credit where credit is due. I loved what she did with her eyes. I love the like drip down black makeup. I thought that was gorgeous.
Listen, no one can ever say India Farah is not good at drag makeup or makeup in general. And she is one of, in my opinion, the best makeup artists that we have ever seen on Drag Race, point blank, period.
Cosine.
Girl. No, to everything else.
All right, I gotta take that video down. I'm only staring at the boobs. That's
I'm telling you.
Literally all I can look at. Oh my gosh. Blair St. Clair is the next queen to walk the runway, and she does a sort of gender. I don't know even what did she call it, Sharifa? She had some name for it, I feel like.
I don't remember what it was, but whatever it is, it was just delicious. I love when people take gender and are like, we're just going to smash it all together. We're going to remove it and we're going to add it. And she just did it so successfully. Like, I want that outfit. Everyone on the panel wanted that outfit. And it was such a nice contrast to her performance, because I felt like we got to see Blair in her prime and where she's comfortable versus that Snatch Game where you can tell she was just overthinking everything.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Beth.
She looked like a comic.
Yeah, no, Aman, go ahead. She looked like a comic book character, right?
Yeah, she looked like she's like popping out of a comic book to me. It was like a very vibrant, and in contrast with the rest of like the set, she just pops. You know what I mean? And yeah, I don't really remember too many of Blair St. Clair's looks from season 10, but I just have a feeling that this is something that we would not have seen back then. So I really feel like she's one of these queens that is, you know, sort of like the antithesis of India Farah. Like, it looks like she is doing a lot of experimentation and exploring different parts of her drag and trying to bring new looks to the table. And it's a beautiful, beautiful look. I love that it goes from the tuxedo down into the skirt and the dress. And it's just, and then of course that little reveal, it's not like the most epic reveal of all time, but it's still like, oh, that's so cute. I like that. You know what
Precious.
I mean? So
it's,
It ties in the prom theme. I got two thoughts on this. The first thought, when she came around the corner, I thought, thank God she's continuing to do something that we don't expect her to do with her drag. Mm-hmm. Because as soon as I heard prom queen, I went, okay, so she's going to be, you know, the blonde girl that gets prom queen at every suburban school in America. You know, like, that's what I got. And so she came around to this and I was like, thank you for continuing to tell me that I don't know shit about your drag, Blair. Like, thank you for that, because this is exactly what you're doing in an all-star season. Even if I haven't agreed with all of her looks before, because God knows I was not a fan of the camo last week. I love that she's going outside the box. My second thought was, this is exactly what Billy Porter would wear. If there's anything you should aspire to, it's, what would Billy Porter wear? Like, absolutely. I thought this was really, really cool. And I think the crown really ties in the theme again. Yeah. I think without it, I wouldn't have necessarily gotten prom out of it. But the way she acted, the way she did her runway, the little reveal of the crown, everything to me came back to prom. And I thought that she'd really tied it all together really beautifully.
When she walked around the runway, I audibly said, wow, because I was just blown away by the way that it looked. The only little thing that I would have said to hopefully make it a little bit more prom-ish, add a boutonniere and a corsage. Do both.
I love that idea.
Oh, that's precious.
Do them in blue, like the same color as the shirt. And I think that that just really like makes it just really completes the look. She also looks 10 freaking feet tall. And it has taken me a long time watching this to try to guess whether or not she is or is not on stilts. Ivy Winters kind of thing here. I think she is not. They're just heels. It's just the way that the skirt is cut. Yeah. But this to me was just absolutely gorgeous.
Up there, they almost are looking up at her as well. It's really interesting.
This is where I hope we see her drag go. It sort of goes in what everyone is saying, is I feel like the first time we saw her, she was trying to be like another version of a drag queen, and she was still sort of discovering herself. And I feel like she's getting closer and closer to finding what her version of drag is. And I really hope she keeps going off in this direction, because you can just tell, like, her skin was literally glowing in it. Like, she felt like a million bucks.
The second to last queen on the runway is a Jujubee, and Jujubee is doing this 80s prom theme, Aman. What'd you think about Juju?
It was cute, but it's like everything that she's been wearing this season. It's just a prom dress that you would see anyway, you know, like wear drag in it, wear in it. And you look stunning, and you're lucky that you performed so well in that damn snatch game, because you literally could have worn a damn trash bag and you would not have gone home this week. But yeah, I mean, I'm not going to remember any of her runways this season thus far. I'm just
Beth, do you agree with that?
I do agree with it. I think it was cute. I think it was a great like 80s prom dress. I think it was one of the few that like, I looked at it and went, oh, it's a prom dress. Okay, cool. But I thought it was cute. It fit her well. It was a very safe look. I'm not going to boot it. I don't think that it looks awful on her. I don't think that it like doesn't meet the requirements. I thought I loved the butterflies in the bodice area. And I love her hair. I love that like teased out, crimped out kind of 80s hair. But yeah, I love that color on her too. I think it's a really pretty color. It's a color we haven't seen on her before. But yeah, I agree with Amon. Like, this isn't like an all stars kind of look. This is a I'm safe on the runway kind of look for me.
I disagree so much. I'm like, Kateyna Sharifa, other people are allowed to have opinions. I love it. I really, like, first of all, I love that shade. And for me, this is like very vintage Juju. Like, when I saw this, it gave me flashbacks to her original season and some of the looks she did, especially that hair. She loves that kind of hair. I really adored it. I thought it was precious. I love this lilac because it was so soft. I love that she was the only one who did like sort of an 80s feel, not 1880s, but 1980s feel for her look. Like, I thought this was precious. And I thought she did stand out in this crowd because she was the only person who went in this sort of like retro direction. I personally thought it was really precious.
I think I'm probably somewhere in the middle. I don't think I responded as well as Sharifa did, but I liked this. I thought this was cute. It could just be my undying love for Jujubee, but the way that her hair is styled, I think just looks absolutely fantastic. It's not just sort of the normal 80s big hair kind of wig that we see. It's like really styled in a very adorable way. The color, I think, looks fantastic on her. The sleeves and the skirt are just poofy enough to push it into drag. And I think she looked stunning. Now, Blair St. Clair, I think, had a better look. You know, I think there absolutely. Are other queens who blew me away a little bit more so. But I thought this was cute. I could see this being like the top runway from a regular season of Drag Race, yeah. potentially. Yeah. So it's a little bit harder when you put it within the context of All Stars. But yeah, I thought she looked cute here.
I have a I don't know if it's a good or a bad tendency to try to compare all-star looks to like All-Stars 2, because I felt like so many of the looks in All-Stars 2 were like hit out of the park for every theme. There were obvious hits or misses, I mean, on that as well. But overall, every single one of those queens came and just murdered the runway. And then I felt like we haven't had a season where every queen has murdered the runway most of the weeks and has made it really hard to choose like who has a better look, like it was in All Stars 2. So I think that's where it comes down to me is like, is this a holy shit, this isn't an all-star look? Or is it this is a really good look for a regular season that you could win it. That's where I'm at. So like, I don't think it looks bad on her at all. I think she looks gorgeous. I love the color, all that other stuff. But for me, I just look back and I'm like, but is it an all-star concept? Is it an all-star look? How is the execution? Those kind of things. Those are where maybe I'm just being a little Michelle Visage like.
No, but I actually agree with that.
The queens talk about it too, you know, like the queens are also very much aware that the fact that this is All Stars. I mean, one of the first things that Monique Hart says to Monet Exchange or about Monet Exchange in the diary room when Monet Exchange walks in with like that regular ass black swimsuit type deal, she's like, really? You wore that as your entrance look for All Stars 4? So it's definitely not a culture that is, you know, just a part of the audience. It's definitely within the competition itself. So, I mean, I think it's a wonderful look. I think it's beautiful. The color is very good on her skin. But it's an 80s prom dress to me, you know.
Yeah, if you don't respond to it, you don't respond to it. I think that's what's really great about drag is, like Sharifa said, people are allowed to have other opinions. Well, okay, Beth, let's put this theory to the test. Okay. What about Shea Coulee's look? Where on the spectrum?
No, I think, so this is where we're talking about all-star concept meeting all-star execution. When she first came around the corner, I didn't see all the details, but as the camera panned in, as she got closer, I was so impressed that not only are you going Carrie, which is iconic within the LGBTQ community as a look about how she was treated in high school, like all those things, right? Then you add in her own personal Carrie story of when she thought she was going to be the queen of prom, the queen of Drag Race, and it has those red rose petals coming down on top of the fact that you have this like deconstructed kind of like garment I'm just like, I could not stand this look even more than it's just like, it is so gag worthy. And there's the way that she's acting and bringing it on the runway. This was 10 out of 10, 10s across the board. This was great.
Yeah, Sharifa, also 10s for you, or are you feeling differently?
I like everything that Beth just said, bold it, italicize it, underline it, put it in size 140 font. Like, that's exactly how I felt watching it. And you know what? After what you said, Beth, like, I completely agree. Like, this was an all-star look. Blair St. Clair was an all-star look. And what I really loved here was the fact that Shea made it personal, because I remember watching that moment. I remember watching that season and rooting for Shea. I mean, like, how can Shea lose? She's incredible and she's doming this and she's owning it. And that moment just it curtailed all of the success that she was having. And so to see her like talk about it openly and to do this amazing stunning look and reclaim the moment as something powerful for her, I thought was really beautiful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's something that we don't really talk about or don't really think about, or at least I didn't, is the fact that we see that as the Sasha Velour success story instead of looking at it from Shay's perspective, because, yeah, you know, like someone who was doing so well and so successful, you know, you're going to have sort of more empathy and understanding for the underdog. But Shea Coulee, when she started talking about that on the stage, oh my gosh, my heart just dropped for her. I cannot even imagine being in that moment thinking that, okay, maybe Trinity is your biggest competition. And then to not only lose that lip sync, but unfortunately be pretty much crushed by Sasha there. It just, Aman, I mean, my heart goes out to her, and it's cool that she was able to make that part of the runway look this week.
Yeah, I mean, the look is fire. I'm a big fan of like the whole deconstructed look of it all, and you know, the amalgamation of Carrie and Sasha, and the fact that she's even giving a little bit of an homage to Sasha as well, as far as the hair is concerned. So just amazing. I think it's not only is it a very artful and impactful and thoughtful choice, but it's a smart one, because we all know why she's here. This is supposed to be her redemption season. And so for her to look at us in the face and be, you know, pretty much give it to us in a look, it's like, bitch, give me the crown this time. I'm not playing games anymore. Like, she's getting in front of this messaging. And I think that that's a very, very bold position to take, because then you, not only is the audience already rooting for you because we want to see the redemption, but we also know that you are also in on this ride with us. Like, Shay, yeah, knows, she knows what you guys have been saying. She's seen the tweets, she's seen the articles, she's seen everybody react to it online. Everybody's reaction videos went up and everything. She's seen it all. And I'm sure her and Shay, or Sasha have talked it over and over again. Like, she knows, y'all. And she's saying, here it is. This is the moment that y'all have been waiting for. This is what y'all wanted me to address. I'm addressing it now. After this, I'm not talking about it no more. It's time for All Stars 5, and I'm here for my redemption. So yeah. I thought she said all of that with just this one look, and I love it.
Agreed.
Well, and that power look and her Flavor Flav performance get her the win this episode. So Shea Coulee is declared the winner, and then turns out we do have a bottom, but all of the queens who aren't the winners are going to be in the bottom.
Yes.
Yes. I'm so excited to talk this through. So first of all, I just want to say, I'm going to call this, if you're not first, you're last. This is like the Ricky Bobby meme. If you ain't in the top, you're in the bottom. Yes, it did take, I did make this. I am very embarrassed by it. We're just going to go ahead and move on.
That I made still have meme. Never seen that movie, and I don't regret that choice.
That's stupid. I love it.
Aman, you had a big reaction to it. You love it. Walk me through it.
This is what I thought they were going to do from the get-go. When we started seeing press releases about the new twist of the season, I thought, once, you know, there's one winner and then everybody else is up for grabs. And I love this because it forces the queens into playing the game. It's All Stars 5. Come on, man. And I know that we're biased. I know that there are probably a few Drag Race fans that listen to this podcast and they don't watch Big Brother. They don't watch Survivor. They don't watch The Challenge. Yeah. They don't watch that shit. And they're like, I don't want that in my Drag Race. So I'm like, too bad, honey. It's All Stars. Like, it's not regular Drag Race. If you want to watch that, then rewatch season 12. Okay. This is an entirely different game. And I love the fact that this is like, is making the queens actually have to think about the choices that they are going to make. Do I want to get rid of the queen that's been doing uber well? Because, oh, she fucked up this week. Let's get her out. Do I want to take out competition that obviously isn't doing the best? Or do I drag them along because I can beat them in the end? Do I save people because I'm an alliance? Do I backstab people? Like, what do I do? Like, so I when they said this, I was like, oh, yes, honey. Like, I want a season drama. And it's exactly what we got. With this new
as twist, soon so. As we heard what the twist was, I literally thought in my head, Aman is going crazy happy right now watching this.
I was like, yes, anarchy!
What did your roommate think of this, Aman?
He hates it. He doesn't like this shit. It's such a killjoy because I have to like defend it every single time. And I'm like, this is the game though. This is how it's supposed to be played. But he's just, he's like, I don't want that in my Drag Race. I feel like that's so grimy to like get rid of somebody that's doing well. I'm like, why? Like, where is the logic here? I don't understand.
I think everyone gets terrified of that moment when Naomi Smalls pulls out Manila's lipstick. I love that moment. Life's hard.
Like,
it was delicious because the difference, and it goes into everything that you're saying, Aman, because I know that the general fandom and the purists aren't a huge fan of this new twist because now it's going to like mess up girl scores and they're going to have bottoms, whatever. All Stars has a layer of strategy that the regular seasons don't. And it's one of the reasons I tend to enjoy All Stars a bit more. And it forces the girls to play the game because are you going to pull a Naomi Smalls and come for the top? Or are you going to try to respect your competitors and who's actually performed? And I feel like it was almost an attempt to try to add a bit more of that. Like we talked about it previously, but that All Stars 2 quality, which really was cutthroat. I mean, Roxy made it all the way to the end, not because she deserved it, but because Alaska was taking her shots. And so I'm hopeful that it's going to add a layer of strategy and make it a bit more competitive versus what we'd see on a normal season. So I co-sign with Aman. I love it.
It's another thing is that because like you're right, because All Stars 2 was very cutthroat. A lot of people that was a very cutthroat season. But I feel like one of the things that it gets away with is that there's so many fan favorites in that season, many queens that a lot of people wanted to see do well. So it's like, oh, well, damn, we lost Alyssa this week, but at least we still have Detox. At least we still have Katya, whoever. So I feel like with this season, I understand that there's going to be a bit more frustration because in a lot of people's eyes, some of the queens that make it onto these more recent seasons of All Stars have no reason being there. So it's like, do I really want to watch somebody like just using, like, you know, well, I know I love Jasmine Masters, but I'm sure a lot of people don't necessarily agree with me. A lot of people are like, well, do I really want to watch Jasmine Masters get rid of somebody like Trinity Tuck? Like, Trinity Tuck? Like, they just don't want to.
Yes, you do.
I do.
People like us would be like, yes, that was the best time ever.
Yes, you know? Exactly. But so it doesn't lend itself to wish fulfillment for the fans. Sure. You know what I mean? And I feel like that's like a struggle that a lot of people are having to deal with. But I just keep saying, like, you embrace it. Embrace the new format. Embrace the game. Because the more that the audience does, the better the seasons will become. You know what I mean? Because I feel like if they get so much pushback because they're afraid of not booking anything because so-and-so is going to be pissed off that you got rid of so-and-so, then who's going to want to fucking come on All Stars to begin with?
Right.
Embrace it. And they're like, once again, guys, listen, the queens are going to be fine. Okay, they are going to leave the show, have people that are going to want to book them. They probably make $100,000 within 2 months of bookings. Okay, they're going to be fine.
Also, if you feel that strongly about a queen going, why don't you support them by buying their merch or going to their shows if you are able to, or, you know, sharing what their media, anything that's good about them, share that. I mean, there are so many ways to support those specific queens. And I will always be on this. Like, I was so gutted when Manila left because I'm such a huge Manila fan.
Mm-hmm.
And I was angry for 2 hours. And then I was like, damn, what a good move. And I like would joke around and be like, oh, that shady Naomi for like a week. But I did it because it was like fun to talk about it. Like, you know, and it was fun to have like a fun, like mm-hmm. I had emotions about Drag Race. I haven't had emotions about Drag Race exactly. in a long time. Like, let's do this, guys. This is, it, otherwise it's just predictable.
Well, I think we keep, oh, I'm so sorry, Liana.
Well, so, I mean, Sharifa, to your point, I was actually going to talk about All Stars 2 here because this to me felt like the most emotion and the most drama real drama that I felt in Drag Race since All Stars 2, since the I will PayPal you $10,000 moment. That was what I felt from Alexis. Okay, maybe it wasn't that dramatic, but like this was insane and so fun to watch because essentially you have this issue where India tells Shay, probably not expecting that Shay was going to bring it up to the rest of the queens, that Mayhem Alexis went to India and said like, hey, she said we're gonna like she wants to vote you out and if I will vote with her, and then that just explodes everything from there. Mm-hmm. I mean, hands down.
But what do we
politics
yeah, what do we think happened here? Do we think that India, like, even Bob the Drag Queen put up a poll on his Twitter like, who's lying, is it India or is it Alexis Mateo? Okay, because we're gonna see in Untucked that India is going to double down to Michelle and also say like, look, she says it to Che before she leaves. Like, I wasn't lying to you. And she says it again to Michelle Visage saying like, look, I was telling you the truth. Like, they literally asked me to vote you out. I'm thinking that there was probably maybe miscommunication.
I think that's what it is.
At the very least. I think that there was probably a conversation that took place between them where they were like, we're going to vote out Shay. What are you going to do? And then she took that as them telling her to vote out Shay. And then when she didn't, it was like, ugh, well, now they're going to be exposed for it. And I think that's probably what happened, because I really doubt that India would sit here and tell her this if she didn't honestly think that there, what purpose would it serve for you to continue to lie even to Michelle once you were already eliminated? Like, there's no point in lying.
It was a Juju confessional that I screamed, and that's when I made an opinion on who I thought was lying or not. When she said, well, if India was lying, that means she's a good actress. And if she was a good actress, that means she would have done better at Snatch Game. So Alexis must be lying. And I was like, you know what? That's logical. Yeah, I agree.
Let the court say amen, a word.
It was great. I think that both queens think that they're right. Yeah. I don't think that either one is trying to lie. I think that's exactly what happened, Amon. I immediately remembered last week's episode where Mayhem's like first confessional was, I voted Shay because I thought we all were going to be voting Shay. So that does lend itself to, okay, mm-hmm. Well, if she thought everyone was voting Shay, did she tell people to vote Shay? Was there a conversation where she thought they were going to vote? Maybe India felt like they were pushing her to vote. So I definitely think there's a truth in the middle, because you have their side, and then, you know, the truth is another portion there.
And the fact that they didn't like show any footage of it to easily, you know, solve the mystery was like, I feel like, yeah, that's probably exactly what happened, because it's a very nebulous situation and they're just going to continuously drag it out to the end of the season. And then during the reunion, we're going to have them actually show the footage of what actually went down. And it's going to be probably that, like, yeah, we're going to vote for Shay. Like, what are you going to do? Not necessarily telling you to do it, but like, that's right. What we're doing. So, yeah.
I don't know. I feel like Alexis might have been a little bit more guilty than she was leading on.
Oh, well, you know what? No, fair point. Because like look, I am more on the side of it was probably a misunderstanding on India's part. But if not that, definitely Alexis ass is lying. She definitely went and said, I'm gonna vote out to Shay. This is a good opportunity. Yeah, I'm sure you didn't want to vote against your friend. You didn't want to send your friend home, but you wanted to send Shay home. Come on.
It was right there.
Yeah, it's kind of like, kind of like one of those things where it's like, yeah, there's this, the clear benefit if I do this, but also I get all of these other things too. So like, that's the real reason, but that's not the reason I'm telling you I'm doing it.
Right.
So yeah, I think that's probably the situation. I'm really, really interested to see if they have footage of it. Or is this a situation like, you know, when they take the vans to tribal council, was this like a van type situation? Yeah. Are they in a place with cameras? You know, because maybe if Alexis is thinking a little bit of like, oh, I can't say it on camera, so we're going to like hint, hint, maybe I didn't have time to talk to Mariah. We're like trying to like get the votes together. But I just wanted to show them Big Brother. I was like, okay. Required viewing for being on Drag Race All-Stars is Big Brother.
It's so funny. As we were just sitting here talking, and I don't know if it's because we're in this format or not, all I could think of is like, every weekend, how many times have I modded sequester games where people come into a room and say something and then leave, and then the other moderators are going, so-and-so said that they said this, and I'm like, that's not what happened. And like, we're the ones that are piecing it together the back way, and I'm like, no, this is how this person said it. This is probably how this person like interpreted that. And it's just so funny, but that's exactly the point, Amon. Like, this is why we want that kind of drama.
Yes. Oh, the minute you put everybody in the bottom, and then look what we get. A bunch of bottoms.
Fireworks for the 4th of July. That's what we got.
I didn't agree with that bottom. I didn't get Valentina's voice. I tried.
Sorry. I like totally like missed it. I was like, you didn't think Shay should win?
It's Snatch Game. If you can do the voice, you make it work. And I couldn't do the voice.
Yeah. That's you're in the bottom, Sharifa. No.
That does not fit with my French vanilla fantasy.
Oh my God.
The other iconic thing that we got was when we got the voting confessionals here, and you're a liar, and this is why Derek don't like you. Quote from Alexis. Icon. Oh my gosh. You could feel like that's real drama. Alexis Mateo is an old school drag queen. This is real. This is not put on for the cameras. It was absolutely fantastic.
Yeah. Meanwhile, you better believe Derek Barry's at home going, yes!
They're gonna start a club now.
I mean, you can tell that the hatred between those two people is palpable. Oh, like, it's not put on for the cameras. I mean, like, Derek very rarely is able to do anything outside of what he would do actually. You could tell Derek was just living for this, and especially with the way the episode ended, Derek ate good last night.
Oh, yeah, no, Derek definitely tweeted something like, oh, I love Snatch Game. It's my favorite episode or something like that, you know,
with side eyes.
Yeah, exactly. Something super shady. But we go to the lip sync, which Miss Vanessa Vangie Mateo, which apparently this is, okay, yes, she is a good lip syncer. However, she's also part of the Work the World Tour, which I think we should replace Lip Sync Assassin with cast from Work the World Tour, because I think that's really
what
we're seeing.
That's what it's looking like,
Yeah.
That's exactly what it's looking like.
We will see who the remaining Lip Sync Assassins are, but I have a feeling they're going to come right from that list. So the lip sync was, yes, Open Your Heart by Madonna, where, I mean, I don't know if you guys felt differently. I thought, Sharifa, that Shea Coulee just absolutely killed this. And Vanjie, it's not her style of song. She just kind of didn't stand a chance.
I'm a stage director. I look at performance. And what was so wonderful about Shea was doing is everything was so controlled. Mm-hmm. And it was really in contrast to Vanjie, who is just sort of like this ball of energy. And if you're doing a million things at once, we're not going to catch the one really good thing you're doing. And Shay understood that. And she was sultry and she made specific choices. When she did that booty bop to Vanjie, like I've literally felt shakes. Like it just, she was so controlled and so sultry. And she was able to take a song that I don't think is easy to actually do a drag performance to, because it's not super high energy or campy, and she made it her own, and you were just leaning in and you were watching her and you weren't watching Vange.
It was definitely
I really feel like this was Shea Coulee's performance.
Definitely I felt like this was a worse version of Oh, not worse. Sorry. This was a better version of the difference between Latrice Royale and Kenya Michaels doing Natural Woman, right? So it wasn't to that extent of like understanding the assignment kind of thing, but there was like Vanjie's just going, I'm going to do this and then I'm going to flip into this. And like, it was like, great. Okay. That's wonderful. But that's not the song.
Yeah. Amon, what do you think?
I feel like I remember her doing a dip or a death drop, and it was like at an awkward point in the song, and like the editing showed it as much. They were like, no, that didn't land the way that you wanted it to. As Vanjie is definitely she can dance her ass off. Mm-hmm. But yeah, you have to be able to build up the climax, then end it, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like, you gotta be able to tell the story with the lip sync, and I feel like she sort of just like went ape shit, which is fine. Like, you know, I would much rather a queen come out here and do that than give us what the hell Alyssa Edwards was doing, because that, like, girl, I'm still pissed off about that. But this is awesome when I knew that Alexis Mateo was not gonna go home, because like, there is no way that they're gonna have her daughter win and send her ass home. Like, there was just no way. But
I would have lived for that.
That would be some fantastic television. Okay, it would have
been great. Don't you think though that there's a certain part of you that Vanjie comes out, her mother can't even look at her, and do you think Vanjie threw it potentially? So that she wouldn't have to.
Well,
because she did. She went, I don't get anything. RuPaul was like, no.
She was like, oh, I don't get. She's like, no. So
she was like, I don't get anything. If my drag mom is clearly in the bottom.
But I mean, she would peep, right? Like, it's in her arm. Like, she's gonna lift it up a little bit, see what the name is, and then make a decision, right? Because she should want to win.
I feel like this kind of goes to what I thought you were alluding to, Liana, at the top. But like, is she a lip sync assassin?
Oh, well, that too. Yes.
Like, is her best version going to is her best version going to be able to overtake Shay here? Because I almost would have loved if there wasn't a lip sync assassin for this round and we would have seen a top two of Shay and Juju go for this. That would have been iconic. But with Vanjie, I can't even tell if she was throwing it, because I don't think her best would have overcame Shay in that moment.
Yeah. I'm still like, there's a part of me that wonders, why aren't we choosing lip sync assassins that fit the song? Because don't you want it to be a challenge? So like, why are we having Alyssa Edwards and Vanjie Mateo do things that don't make sense for them to be lip syncing to? We should be finding songs that are in their wheelhouse, which might help. I think it would be interesting to get some backstory. So we're doing a Diana Ross song. Who do we think the queen is going to be? Like, I think that would be like interesting, like adding to the drama backstage, kind of just like quick moments that you could do. But like, because when I think lip sync assassins, I'm like, where's Coco Montrese? You know, like, where's Latrice Royale coming on it? And like, where are these queens that
Trinity K. Bonet?
Oh my God, Trinity K. Bonet would be amazing. Like, Darian Lake, where's Darian Lake coming on
through? Kennedy,
like,
Davenport.
There would be so many amazing queens that we haven't either seen on Drag Race in a long time, or we haven't seen, or like maybe didn't have the best track records or experiences on their All Star seasons. But like, that's what they're known for. Like, bring those queens on and make it a song that's in their wheelhouse. And like, you want $20,000, you want $10,000, you want whatever it is, you got to beat, you know, Latrice Royale doing Natural Woman kind of level. You've got to beat, you know, Dita Ritz doing, oh my gosh, what's the name of the song? The Natalie Cole song.
Everlasting Love.
Thank you. Like, you've got to be at that level to get your money. Mm-hmm. Like, that's what I hope that they would do.
They threw a little bit of shade at LaGanja, which was kind of funny, which was like, that's too short of a heel for LaGanja, as the queens are guessing. Because Amon, I wonder about that too. Like, are the queens trying to figure out who it is as well? Like, they clearly have their list of who they think are lip sync assassins.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And which would ultimately, like Beth was saying, add not only to the drama, but to the strategy of it all. Because like, if they know, because everybody knows what the lip sync song is, right? They all have to practice it. So if like the queens are able to be like, oh, like, who's going to come in? You know, like, do we want to put all of our votes on the lip sync assassin, because they're probably going to beat so-and-so, because whoever's in the bottom is not going to be able to beat them if it's this person. Like, there'll be so much like more thinking and intent being involved with these decisions. And I think that would really, really benefit us all. And that's another thing that we haven't had our fair share of lip sync assassins so far. I mean, I would I would describe Evie Oddly as a lip sync assassin. I would describe Alyssa Edwards as one, even though she did not show that she deserved to have that title still. But
yeah, we've definitely had a few. Yeah, like there's some good ones. Mm-hmm. There. I'm waiting for Cameron Michaels to come in. I'm waiting for you know, there's some Brooklyn Heights could probably come in and do something. I would be shocked if she's not one. Like there's just so many people that I think have potential, but just like, I don't know, I kind of want it to be stacked in their favor a little bit more.
Well, it makes it more iconic when the one of the regular queens wins, like that's a moment. And then like I feel like that almost gives more incentive to make a power move if you're able to earn that victory and that $10,000, then you're going for the jugular.
There's a part of me that wishes nobody had won yet. It had only been the queen's votes, and then like you have like 500 or like, my gosh, nope, I can't do math, $50,000 that are like in the account, and one queen wins $50,000, and then the next week they go, well, she won half the prize money, let's get her out.
Yeah, she's
like,
gotta go, because like Shay has won, Shay has
30,000,
right, she's like, she won 30,000 so far, so it's like they've got to be thinking like, I mean, hey, you know, if she wins, because if she continues to win, I mean, if she has to continue to win now or else she's going to be in the bottom. So if she wins again, she's going to have a nice little chunk of money, so people
absolutely
be thinking
absolutely.
Well, Shea Coulee does.
Good.
Oh, yeah. All right. Well, Shea Coulee wins here.
Woo! And
Amon is celebrating. She goes ahead, eliminates India Farah, which we get the four H's from India Farah, which I thought was interesting.
That side look she gave Alexis when she was like, and the fourth H is honesty. I was like, woo!
Yeah, and
she looked like she really expected to stay too, because when RuPaul asked Shay, who are you going to be sending home? Like, you can see India like do a whole sidestep and like give like a whole forefront. So like, yeah, who you sending home, bitch? Because I know it's not me. I just gave you the tea. I just gave you all this information. Are you really going to send me home now? Like, so she. That's why I feel like it's either misinterpretation or Alexis's ass is lying, because the energy that India was given just seems like she was telling the truth. She was telling the truth.
The fifth H was be passive aggressive as heck. I don't know. Yeah, Beth, what do you think?
No, I also like that Shay built it up almost like Shangela, making it sound like she was going to send Trixie home. Like, the person I've chosen has gone on to make a career for themselves afterwards, and like blah, 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 and you're like, oh shit, she's sending home Trixie. I mean, Shay did the same exact thing, you know, upon learning more information. I had to factor that into my decision tonight. And so the queen I've decided to bring home is India. And we're like, oh, okay.
I think a part of that's editing too. Like, I feel like they might have edited the parts where it might have seemed she was a bit more unbiased. But I actually, and I'm really interested to hear y'all's thoughts on this, I think that Shay made the right move not getting rid of Alexis, because she's the one person, I mean, her and probably Juju at this point, and Mancracker potentially, are the people who it doesn't benefit to go against the grain, because they're the ones who are consistently doing well. So sort of inspiring this mentality among everyone that like, hey, we should really keep sending home the weakest performer. Well, you're never going to be the weakest performer, and you have a good track record. So even though Alexis did the thing potentially, and I think she did, I really think Alexis was gaming. I will stand by that point. I think Shay made the right move continuing this ideology of let's go after the weakest person, because I'm never going to be the weakest person.
This may be the weirdest comparison I will ever make, but this reminded me of Sophie Clark on her original Survivor season, because essentially it was like, don't rock the boat. People are telling you to flip. The audience is yelling, you should flip, go against coach, like take him out. But it doesn't serve her, didn't benefit her. And it's kind of the same here. It benefits Shea Coulee to keep the status quo. We got to get rid of the girls that are doing the worst, because I'm doing the best. So now that we have this whole all bottoms thing, I want to make sure that I'm safe if we're continuing to do that. So yeah, I think that's a great point.
It's also advocate. Oh, go ahead, Aman.
I was going to make the point that it also, like, it makes India it like dilutes her blood more. You know what I mean? If you let her stay again, then every time that she's in the bottom, she's going to be the one that obviously stays, because everybody's like, well, we're going to beat her at the end anyway. Like, there's no way that she can win. So at some point, you got to get rid of her, or you're going to immortalize her in a certain way.
Like Roxy.
Yeah, right. The Roxy and his effect.
I would argue that Roxy did at least a somewhat better than Indy has done the past. Especially on the runway. No, devil's advocate to that point, though, is we have how many queens left? Five. And so you listed off three other queens that are like, true. Well, so I'm sitting back and I'm like, well, you might want to start getting rid of somebody who's a really big competition to win, because if there is going to be a final four, that's only two eliminations, including the one this past week. If they were going to do a final three, okay, that's only three for final two. Like, I mean, including this past week's elimination. So there's not that many queens left. So you got to start thinking about who are the people that really stand a chance from snatching that crown for you. I do agree. I do agree, ultimately. But that's the devil's advocate argument I would have in my head, at least.
Well, like, if we're getting a buyback.
So that's the thing. Yeah, I was going to ask the question if we think that there's going to be a buyback at some point, because we did see a buyback actually in this episode, I believe, of All Stars 4. Or maybe it was the week after. No, it was the week after. It was episode 6. So this was episode 5. So next week we could potentially see a buyback, which is what happened in the previous season. But there was also, yeah. Yeah, so I don't know. We'll see. But again, we're still down to a very few queens because we only start with, I think, 10, right? So, okay. Well, we will have to figure out all of this, whether there's going to be a buyback, who's going to go home next week, because we are out of time here. So thank you, all three of you, for being here. This was so much fun. I really enjoyed this roundtable. And we will be back next week to talk about the backyard ball. So finally, the first non-improvising competition or maxi challenge that we're seeing. Yes, breathing a sigh of relief that finally we get something different where whatever backyard couture looks like, Jujubee was confused. We will find out the answer. Thank you all.
Did you guys see the Emmy moment that he's trying to go for?
Oh my God, yeah. With some tears? I don't know if I talked about the Canada podcast, but yes, the crying in the workroom Emmy moment.
Every season they try. We'll see what it actually is. I'm very curious.
Yes. Oh my gosh. All right. Well, Sharifa, thank you so much for joining us. Oh, what are you up to and where can people find you on social media?
So first of all, thank you so much for having me. Secondly, you can find me on Twitter at Sharifa Yasmin, SHARIFAYASMIN _. No one is going to remember that. That's okay. Don't worry about it. But you can find me on both Twitter and Instagram under that username.
Beth, how about you? How can people find you on social media? What are you up to?
Yes, you can find me on social media at AugustaWind11 on Instagram, Twitter, and Twitch. I am continuing my Big Brother 10 journey. Can't wait to... We had Rennie on last week on my weekly meltdown, and it was just a whole bunch of tech issues, which you can only expect with Rennie, but she dropped a lot of gems in there. So highly recommend a rewatch. But moving on, I can't wait to see who becomes HOH after Rennie and see what's happening in that. That's on my weekly meltdown.
And Beth, you're also, I believe, on Renap talking about drag.
Yes! I was yesterday I was welcomed with dragged arms, I'll say. I don't know. That makes no sense. I was on Renap yesterday with my good friend, a drag artist, a drag monarch, Joy Stick, who is a drag queen and drag king from Twitch. And we worked with Grace, who's a listener, Grace, to educate and pit Rob and Akiva against each other for all about drag. So they had to learn their drag personas, what they wanted to put together. They had to try to define drag terms, which was hilarious. And then they attempted a reading challenge, which I think in about 2 weeks will be really good. Some of those reads will be really good if workshopped for a couple weeks, but definitely check it out. It's a really fun episode. And we had a blast doing that yesterday.
And last but not least, Aman, how are you? What are you up to?
I'm good. You can follow me at Aman Adwin on Twitter. Still anxiously awaiting, just like everybody else, what the hell is going on with BB22. In the meantime, I am recording My Glee podcast with Matt. We just released the back half of season 3, so check that out if you're interested. I also just joined Shannon, Aaron Robertson, and Mike Bloom to talk about Hamilton, so that should be in your post-show recaps feed. Maybe by tonight? I'm not really sure when that comes out. But yeah, it'll be out, so make sure to be on the lookout for that. And yeah.
Liana, can I add one thing that I completely forgot?
Yeah, absolutely.
If you are a fan of Sequester, which you should be because it's amazing, please come check me out. I am one of the co-hosts of Podquester. We do live streams of every single Patreon game, some of the private minis, Friday nights and Saturday nights at 8 p.m. Please go check us out. You can find us on YouTube under Podquester and also on Twitter under Podquester.
And you're also like an awesome co-host for Brown Girl Breakdown as well.
Yeah, we have our next one, which is going to be not this Wednesday, but the following Wednesday. We are going to be looking at what it means to play the game of Big Brother as a person of color. So please come check that out.
All right. Well, I think that is everything we have to talk about. I'll give my final plugs and we'll get out of here. So you can find me on Twitter at LianaRHAP. Amon and I talked about Drag Race Canada or Canada's Drag Race. So look out for that if you're watching the season. Like we said at the top of the episode, we're probably going to fold it into the U.S. coverage. I'm also talking about Survivor, doing the Survivor rewatch with Mike Bloom on the RJP B&B. This week, we're going to talk about Cook Islands, episode 6, Plan Voodoo. And then there's another thing that we've been doing on the RJP B&B that I wanted to bring to the Drag Race podcast because why freaking not? Every week, we're plugging a charity that Mike and I are donating to. And so I want to do the same thing here. So the charity that we are repping this week is Black Girls Code. So Black Girls Code is something that's pretty near and dear to my heart. I've worked with them, especially when I was at Tulane. We did a lot of outreach. Essentially, their goal is to increase the number of women of color in the digital space and in STEM. So we get a lot of bleed out throughout the track where we lose women, especially women of color. And so what Black Girls Code does is they do a lot of activities and events for women, the age 7 to 17, and to try to educate, promote. They do hackathons, they do summer camps, they're doing virtual summer camps right now. So that's something that is really important because Black Lives Matter is not a hashtag. It's not a trend. We are working on this and check out some of these charities starting with blackgirlscode.com. And with that, that ends everything we have here. So couldn't do this without Rob, and Rob has a podcast. So if you want to become a patron and help support everything that we do, check out Rob Has a Podcast on patreon.com. You can support all of these wonderful things that we're doing. Leave your star ratings and reviews on iTunes. Huge shout out to Scott St. Pierre behind the scenes, and we will talk to y'all soon. Bye.